I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Oh, yeah, it's Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving Day. We're so excited to be able to bring you something so cool on Thanksgiving. This is Tony Spadafora.
I mean, this is not a dull interview. Tony
right.
is out
oh
of control.
My goodness. He's sound effects and...
Oh, he's like going to a Broadway show.
So, you know, on Tuesday, you guys heard Tracy McMillan. It's the story of her growing up in foster care while her father was in prison. And today's episode, we recorded it originally as a Sunday episode, but we really wanted to bring it to you this week because it kind of proffers that feeling of Thanksgiving. Tony is a foster father.
And during this break, we also want to welcome all the new subscribers we have.
Yes.
And part of what we're doing, you guys, is we have a tremendously interesting catalog. And
yep.
We really want you guys to be able to go through it. So we've handpicked a few episodes to kind of give you a head start on episodes that have already been released.
And we're actually on a break, but it's not an official break because we're still bringing you new episodes. But during this time, we really, like Scott just said, we really wanted to use it to kind of, you know, tantalize you with our back catalog.
Yeah, so make it easy for you to make a choice.
Yeah.
Give you a starting place in some of the seasons.
So a couple of things, honey. Is it okay if I just talk about a couple of things before we go?
I don't know. What are they?
Okay, so the first one is Scott and I are looking for new reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, we are.
So if you listen to us through Apple Podcasts, if you could please leave us a review and then DM us on The Only One in the Room, or you can email us through our website, theonlyonepod.com. Let us know that you are the reviewer. And we will shout you out on the show the next week.
Yep. We know you guys are listening. We just want Apple to know.
Right. And obviously 5 stars, please.
Please. Yeah.
We want those stars. The other thing is that's really exciting is we are partnering with one of our sponsors, Voyage AC, to do 3 holiday giveaways this season.
They're so dope, too.
They are so dope.
I'm buying some on my own just because.
Yeah, because we can't win.
We can't win.
Right.
And I'm going to use them as gifts.
Mm-hmm. One of them is through our email list. Again, you can find that through theonlyonepod.com. Sign up for our email list. You'll get our exclusive emails. And in that email, you will receive the rules for the giveaway and the fabulous gift that we are giving away. You can give it as a holiday gift. You may want to keep it because it's so gorgeous.
It is.
Yeah. We're also doing one through our Facebook group called The Roomies. So if you are not a member of our Facebook group, just go right onto Facebook, find our group, The Only One in the Room Facebook group, join. And then you will see, the first thing you'll see probably will be the contest giveaway for Voyage AC's holiday gift box.
And the group's awesome. There are a lot of great conversations about guests.
Yes.
A lot of questions, a lot of follow-up interviews from guests.
Absolutely.
Come back and join us after their episode is released and answer questions. So if you guys haven't visited, just take a minute and troll our site. It'd
yeah.
be great.
And then the last one is on Instagram, where we're over 11,500 followers, right?
Yep.
So excited about that. So we're getting a lot of engagement there. We're going to give away our biggest gift, actually, on Instagram. And all you have to do is follow us on Instagram and look for the post with the holiday giveaway from Voyage AC and follow the rules and you could win.
Yes. And there's some really cool news about Voyage AC, but I'll save it.
Yes, we have to save it because
but you will want to own one of
these. It's the biggest news of the year,
it is,
actually.
For us.
Yeah.
And our friend Melanie Apple.
Melanie Apple.
Yes. You will want to own one of these pieces. You will go here for your holiday shopping from here on out, I promise.
There's nothing like Voyage AC. It's a one-stop place for all your holiday shopping.
It really is, and I love everything that we get.
Everything. Mm-hmm. But today is about Tony Spadafora. Please enjoy his episode. What is his episode called? Do you remember?
He's the only 50-year-old father.
Gay father in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. Imagine walking into that preschool in your... What did he have? Orange Crocs and overalls?
He wasn't afraid. I was afraid.
You were afraid for him.
Well, yeah.
And then realizing that you're the only 50-year-old gay father there.
Wonderfully told.
Oh, just a beautiful story.
Good for the holidays. Good for this time.
Enjoy.
The body of children that are out there hurting and the body of children that are in need of what Michael and I decided early on that we could do and we were going to do. We can tap that and we can help. This is what we wanted early on, and that we can do it with our schedules, our resources, and our support system. We'd be nothing without our family and our friends. And being the old father in the room to see what I've waited for so long is just, it's delicious.
I'm probably one of the few people I know who still looks forward to my Sunday newspaper. Not a digital copy that I read on my phone, but the real finger-staining, loud crinkling, section-by-section newspaper. The Sunday paper for me is a treat to be enjoyed while lounging in bed and sipping hot lemon water. So one day when we were going through all of the Only One stories that are being submitted to us, thank you for those, by the way. We love reading them. It was Scott's idea to record and release a few of them occasionally, but always on Sundays, and call them our Sunday edition. And because they're only 30 minutes long, our hope is that you can enjoy them while sipping your morning beverage, going for a walk, or even just enjoying a lazy Sunday at home. Please enjoy today's Sunday edition and be sure to listen every Thursday for a new installment of our Now Normal series. And of course, every Tuesday when we drop another brand new episode of The Only One in the Room. Tony Spadafora, can you tell me what your favorite all-time television theme song is?
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
Let me think.
I mean, I really love the theme song to Alice because Linda Lavin sang the hell out of it. And I was like, really? A lead actress can sing their own theme song in a show?
She sang that?
Yes.
Can you give us a couple bars,
yeah. please?
Absolutely. So, I used to be sad. I used to be shy. Funniest thing, the saddest part is I never knew why. Kicking myself for nothing was my favorite sport.
Yes.
I had to get out, start enjoying, because life's too short. There's a new girl in town.
Yes.
That's so good.
That brings back memories.
New girl in town.
Sunday nights, remember? Yeah. Like Mel's Diner, and it was just feisty. That was definitely my favorite theme.
Kiss my grits. Well, thank you for that. That's actually, I'm going to keep that question because I really liked your answer.
Oh, I hope
you're the first person I've asked that question to.
Well, so. Pun intended, I hope it bears you fruit.
Yes. I am Laura Cathcart-Robbins. This is the Only One in the Room special Sunday edition, but I am never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, honey. So, Hun, a few weeks ago, we dropped the first episode of the Sunday edition with our only one contest winner, Patty Linsky, was the only canter in rehab. And do you remember, like, what the response was to that?
It was fantastic, right? It was just what we wanted.
It really was. And people really connected and they identified. But when we did that contest, and that was back in April for our one-year anniversary, we thought we would probably get, like, one or two submissions, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that. And what happened, from my point of view, was there was a flood of submissions. And there were so many good stories. And so what we decided to do was open it up and create a new edition of The Only One in the Room, a special Sunday edition, so that we could bring you some of those stories. And today's guest is the other one that was definitely good. I mean, it was really a tie, right?
For sure, yeah.
It was a tie between the two of them, but we couldn't have two winners. So he was very gracious after he and I connected. And Tony Spadafora agreed to come in and tell us his Only One story because we loved it so much.
Yeah, and he's an OG fan of the show. He was a fan of the show before we started the show.
Huge.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how do we know Tony?
We know him from his partner, his husband.
That's legal.
It's actually legal, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I jumped on that.
Yeah, man.
Got married in North Carolina?
Close, actually. We did it on the East Coast to get close to Michael's family in Charlotte and my family in Connecticut. And we did it on the banks of the Connecticut River in Connecticut. Deep River.
Okay.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that time.
I thought it was North Carolina, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had
I think Michael lied and told us it was there.
You know his conditions. It does lend to some faulty memories.
Right.
I wake him up in the middle of the night sometimes and wish him happy Easter and strange things.
Oh,
I call myself
no.
Carlisle. And I'm like, why do you keep calling me this name? Because Michael is malleable, if nothing.
Yes.
My ball of clay.
He is lovely and the
absolutely.
Most buoyant spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotty and I met him at Mezzamundo.
Correct.
Mezzamundo, yeah.
And he was a server there. He was a waiter there. He was our waiter. Like, we didn't want anybody else when we came in. And then he started dog walking, and he walked our dogs, Venus and Serena. And it was not just like a dog walking service. He was really part of our family. And
now, I am a little disappointed that they're not in the interview room right now.
I know.
I understand what they would bring, but I mean the chi that they brought to Michael's life and your lives.
But they are love like hounds. They will be after you you'll be distracted, but we'll take some pictures so people can see you with Venus and Serena afterward.
Nice.
So let me just introduce you.
Please.
Tony Spadafora is a producer and writer known for Socket, Dish It Out, which is amazing. And if you haven't seen it, you need to check it out on YouTube. And The Lees of Los Angeles, which I haven't seen yet. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you.
So
wow.
excited to have you here.
Yes. Michael said, you're going to be amazed. Laura will do her research on you.
I did a little research.
Yes.
But I didn't need to do much because you sent us that amazing letter.
Oh, I was.
Yeah. Your submission was incredible.
Yeah. And we feel like we've been watching you guys for a long time.
That's true. I probably could have done all of this from what Michael has shared with us in the stories.
It's funny that the whole like the rainbow starts with a couple of actors intertwined in the San Fernando Valley to falling in love and challenging each other to become parents and taking it as far as we have in meeting everybody's interesting friends along the way and creating family.
Yeah. Well, you have a very large chosen family.
We do.
Yes.
We're very fortunate.
Can you tell me, I need your only one statement, so could you please give that to me now?
Absolutely. It was at a point one time where I had realized that I was the only 50-year-old gay father in the room.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, how do you identify?
I identify as a gay male.
A gay male?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
A father.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You just gave me chills.
You're sweet. Thank you. You both are extraordinary parents.
Oh, thank you.
You've raised boys, girls, mm-hmm. And wonderful, charismatic individuals.
Yeah.
They live great lives.
They really do. We talk about how proud we are of our children.
Yes.
On a very consistent basis.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me, you grew up on the East Coast.
Correct.
In Connecticut?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in Connecticut.
And you come from a large family.
That's right. I'm the fifth of six.
Ooh.
Wow.
Are you the only gay one?
No, actually. Would you imagine? My older sister, Sally, is also gay. And she and her family are in Portland, Oregon. She has two daughters that she adopted. And my father had been married once before. They had the four older kids, John, Mary, Sally, Carol. And then their mom had passed, and he met my mom, and we had me and Trish. And so usually they were tracing the genetics of homosexuality to run alongside of the mother's side of the family. But no,
it doesn't work that way then.
It didn't seem to fly.
So what was that like growing up in Connecticut in a family of six with another gay sibling,
right.
But she was female?
Correct.
Or she is female?
Yes.
So what was that like?
Well, we weren't out when we were growing up. We were definitely challenged in the 70s and the 80s. There really were no role models accessible. A couple of stock characters on Barney Miller that may have had some, you know, snarky commentary, or Paul Lynde,
I was just going to say.
Which,
yes.
Of course.
And Bewitched.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And stock characters, mm-hmm. two-dimensional.
Yeah.
It was family first, always in our household. My father insisted on that. And my mother flew right behind that. And all of us were never raised as half or step. We were always brother and sister.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
We still are.
So you're saying you weren't out when you were growing up. Was that by choice?
Yeah, that was by choice. I really was too afraid of who I was going to be in this unknown, or what was going to happen, because there was no courageous role model for me to identify with yet.
Even in your family or outside of your home and inside your home
as
well?
It was at college that finally I was able to make some connections and some people that were able to make me understand myself a little bit better.
Okay. And that's when you came out?
Yes.
Was in college?
I came out in college.
What did that look like?
That was easy enough for me. I came home, and it was after college that I'd been living as a gay man in professional gigs. I was acting. I was doing children's theater. I was doing industrial theater around the country. And I came home from a gig, and I said, I'm going to do it. And it was a couple days after coming out day. Sally's like, go for it. She had already come out. And that was the first question they asked. They said, okay, well, what about Tony? I'm like, he's going to have to tell you on his own accord.
So when she came out to them, they asked her about
They're
you.
Not even like, how are you? Are you okay? What about Tony?
So they knew.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So that does make it
easy. I was the only one in the room that didn't know.
Right.
That was me.
Right.
Self-imposed.
You'd already come out and you didn't know you'd already come out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My own Gilligan's Island.
Mm. Okay. So then you meet Michael.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been married?
Michael and I got married in 2012.
In 2012. Okay. And Michael, as we talked about, is a jack of all trades. He's also an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, both of you are like full-time parents.
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah. Michael is still acting. He did a film last year in Charlotte, and he still goes out for stuff. And it's interesting, as a family, being as charismatic as we are, we love to still go out on calls and print and commercials. We've been going in. Last year, we booked something with our daughter, Xana Lou.
Ugh.
We booked an Enfamil spot.
And don't get me started on Xana Lou.
That was their most important person in the world campaign. And as a family, we went out. It was our first gig as a family that we booked.
Yeah.
And Michael still thrives. He still gets the calls. And it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's quarantine and COVID. It's not a full quarantine, but things are more challenging.
Correct.
I know that a lot of people are self-taping and still going out, but probably a good time, and we'll get to where you guys are later.
Mm-hmm.
To be maybe a little bit less busy because you have so much in your home to be busy with right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
This episode is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, hon, do you know what honeysuckles signify?
Sweetness?
Yeah, very good. Sweetness, sweet disposition. Can also mean fraternal affection or devoted affection.
What are you reading about, honeysuckles or something?
Yeah, honeysuckles also symbolize devoted affection in the form of a lover's embrace.
Ooh, I see. You're looking at Voyage AC's IG page. So if I were to buy you this Postiano, this new summer fragrance from Voyage AC, it would be like holding you close.
Yeah, and I think you'll like the way it smells on me. It might even give you some ideas.
Oh, I have ideas. You know I have ideas.
That's true. Voyage AC is also your one-stop shopping for all kinds of gifts, hand-poured candles, diffusers, clutches, and beach bags, clothes, and any fragrance that you could dream of. So, hon, how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You guys can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VOYAGEETCIE.com.
Oh, hey. And Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all of our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything they buy.
That's awesome. But how do they get it? Enter the only one in the room on the website?
That's right, except for it's not the only one in the room. It's just the only one. So
I do that every time.
All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of artisanal candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. Calling all lovers of mystery, prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective who is on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. If, like me, you get sad when a story comes to a close, never fear. With June's Journey, the thrill is endless, since new chapters are added weekly. And not only can you enjoy the detective adventure, but you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Talk to me about deciding to have children with Michael and what that process looks like.
Okay. So in Studio City, there's this restaurant, Aroma Cafe.
Oh, yes.
Are you familiar?
Right down the street.
Are you familiar? I thought you might
be. Yes. Biggest plates ever. Mm. Longest lines ever.
Longest, yeah.
And so, yeah, it's such a staple of the community.
So I was turning 40 in several years ago. And I was, I come out of a long term and I was careening through the dating, the kissing, the frogs, etc. And just having a wonderful, wonderful time until a buddy says, you got to meet my friend. And on our first date on Christmas Eve at Aroma Cafe in 2008, we both had admitted to each other that we both were going to have wonderful families. We came from wonderful families, and it was important for us to find someone to have a family. We kind of looked at each other like, this is
on the first date?
Yeah.
That's very strange first date talk.
Yeah, it was. Well, it's rampant because, I mean, we were all over the place in, like, humor. And
right.
Michael kept doing this. He was like, and I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. He kept doing it through the entire meal. I'm like, what are you doing? He said, I have to tell you right now, I'm from a very gassy family. I'm like, oh okay.
No.
So this is just some sort of belch right now.
And right. So you couldn't see him, but Tony was like turning his head to the side and like kind of blowing air out of his mouth.
He looked like a fish that had landed wrong in a Seattle fish market when it got flipped over. It's like it hit.
So
it cranked and
basically everything was on the table that first day.
So awesome. It was really cool that we talked about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one of the first things that we discussed that we both wanted to have children.
Right. Okay. So you've been together for 12 years.
Oh my gosh. Is it?
Because Scotty and I met in rehab in 2008. And it was 12 years for us on July 14th.
I have to say the best thing about your relationship, besides the obvious palpable love that's in this room, is that when I look at Scott's name, I always think that the S at the beginning of the name is his first initial and it's Scott's at laughter.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, the spark that it makes me smile every time. Not as broad as you are right now, Laura, smiling.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's so much about your relationship is just delicious.
It's a really good way to spell slaughter, laughter with an S.
Exactly.
People always question. It's just, you know, they're scared to say
slaughter.
So I go S laughter.
Yes, S laughter.
It gives them permission.
That's
gentler than slaughter.
Not a problem. Spatafora. I tell them that means help the sheep are on fire. Spatafora. Spatafora.
Spatafora.
What does it mean?
Spata is to bear sword or to shoot. It's an act of aggression. A fora is outside the house. So when you're outside the house, you're always acting a fool.
Ah.
Or acting up of sorts.
I like that roll that you did with your tongue.
Thank you.
Do you speak Italian?
I can understand it. I'm learning it through some Rosetta Stone.
Oh.
The language is amazing.
Yes.
There's only, I think, the four words in Italian, but it's the hand gestures.
Yes.
And the time.
I love it.
Enjoy.
You speak in Italian, speaking American.
Ecco.
Okay, so you get married in 2012, and then you want to bring a child into your life.
That is correct.
How do you do that?
So we had decided that we were going to adopt our first. We had thought about a surrogate to go in that direction. And then adoption had many more possibilities that were attainable to our situation, time-wise, financial, because I am a few presidential administrations older than my husband.
Right.
And so time is of the essence.
Three?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Laura con mathematicos. And so that's how we ended up adopting the first, and we had decided that after the adoption of our first child, we would open our hearts and homes to fostering.
Yes, which you have, and I want to get to that.
We'll get there.
Tell me about Zanna. Her birth mother was someone that was in your life, or did you connect with her before Zana was born?
We had actually connected. It was nobody in our life. We were working with an agency, and we were working with an attorney, and the situations that come in adoption, because birth rates were down. We were featured in the Hollywood Reporter with a few much bigger, broader couples than ourselves, Ryan Murphy and Julianne Moore and other people of that ilk that were stymied in adoption with bad numbers of birth rates across the United States. And we're just two honest Joes trying to create our family. And these situations come up to a simmer. They come to a rolling boil. They disappear. And happened numerous times. Mm-hmm. And so it was heartbreaking. And I was going to have the newborn experience. I was going to have these nights that I'm in right now. I was going to have feedings and all of that. I was going to have, you know, stretch marks if I wanted it. I was going to accumulate whatever I needed to just to enjoy it.
I just want to, when you say that situations came from a simmer into a rolling boil, you mean that you would have your kid, like you would think, oh, that's going to be our baby, right?
Right. We would think that we were matched with a couple across the United States, because domestically they didn't want to work with my tribe. We were focused on a space between New York. Yes.
So wait a second. In California?
No, I'm talking like China and Russia.
Oh, I see. They didn't want to have a gay couple adopt?
No. Even really? Guatemala had shut down adoptions after my sister had adopted her last one. They had to go to Guatemala and sit on the local authorities' chest to get their daughter out. Yeah, it took some pulling of strings to get everybody out. So internationally, nobody wanted to, was going to be passing children to same-sex couples. So
interesting.
We were working with everything that's between United States between New York and Los Angeles, and it's a little scary road in between those two cities of situations that come up, and you think, I mean, and people are coming out of terrible situations, people coming out of terrible means, people are, you're just praying for the safety and comfort of everybody involved, and yet you're also trying to conceive. It's very odd that people can go off to happy hour and do things of that nature, and we're gonna go through the annals and the byways of society to find our family, but we're going to do it because we were committed from that first date that we're going to do this.
Right.
And so it would come into a rolling boil, and I was going to have that newborn experience, and Michael's like, this isn't working out, babe. You're going to have to
– because it's much harder, right, to get someone that is
– yeah. Absolutely. And he's like, you're going to have to just think about infant or toddler. Mm-hmm. I said, then you're going to need a project because I'm not giving up on this. Go refinance the house, work on the construction, the addition or something. Get out of my zone. I'm going to have this baby. As soon as we start some projects, a baby falls. And so all of a sudden we meet these wonderful people in Washington.
Wait, so you literally started the projects?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's rip the house up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you get a call.
Hi, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, provided, of course, that the couple and you jive.
Mm-hmm.
That was their stipulation. That was our stipulation. Fantastic. We chat. It's fantastic. Humorous. And we go to Tacoma, Washington, and we meet with these folks. And they're fine people. You know, they're fine. They're just – they can't get out of their own way for circumstances. They have a special needs son at home. And this is their talent. They are able to help people create families.
Beautiful.
And they've done it several times. And so we found out we were pregnant in May, and our daughter was born in September. Named for a very dear friend of mine that passed, my best friend, Susanna. Suzanne, she had passed, and it was heartbreaking. We were friends for 30-something years. And so Michael says, we should name her after Sue. We got to name her after Sue. And so I said, okay, well, I don't want it to be morbid every time I'm calling her into the house. He says, so we take Susanna, we make it Susanna, but then we do something fun because, you know, my family has this middle name, Louise. All the women in the family have the middle name Louise. So I was like, because I was like trying to remember, her father doesn't have like Howard Louise.
Right.
No,
yeah.
You're bringing this.
That wasn't happening.
How is this happening? I don't understand your logic before the stroke.
Yeah.
And so he eventually is like, no, Louise. And so Susanna Louise, and we shortened it to Xanalu.
Mm-hmm.
And Xanalu is the light of a lot of people's lives.
Ooh.
She's remarkable. Daughters.
Yeah.
They're amazing. You were so lucky to have a daughter.
I prayed for boys. I prayed. I was going to cut my teeth on something stupid. I was going to make my mistakes. I was going to cut my knees just like they did and blame it on the dog. I was going to not prepare myself for the higher education and the higher intelligence and the style and the ribbons and all
already,
that.
All you already that. Had all that going on.
It was just crazy, crazy.
First of all, you'll hear all the social media information at the end of this podcast. You have to follow Michael, because I think Michael posts more pictures of Xana than you do. I don't know. Is that true?
I don't think that's possible.
That was a faux pas. Okay, that is not true.
Laura.
I stand corrected. Anyway, follow them both, and you will see their incredibly stylish, beautiful, sassy, intelligent, gorgeous daughter, Xanalu.
Yeah. Thank you. She has her eyes on galactic domination and nothing less will suffice.
That's right. That's right. As every girl should.
Yeah.
So tell me about showing up at preschool orientation for Xana.
Okay. So I'm in my salmon colored overalls. I have
pink.
My, yeah.
Yeah. Just if in I case you don't know salmon. What salmon colored is, it's pink.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
And I have my Crocs on.
Mm-hmm. What color were they?
They're olive green.
Okay.
Oh, nice. I like those.
Yeah. And I have this beautiful, like, scarf draped around my neck that I brought back from Milan. Because, you know, it's just, we're going there.
Right.
And I'm looking around the room at the dads in the skinny jeans on their phones. And everybody's beleaguered and tired because I lead a, you know, paranormal existence. I work at night and I'm, you know, sleep during the day, or
right.
I used to. But everybody's beat down from their days at work and I'm just getting started.
Yes.
And so I'm looking around this room saying, oh, my God, this is going to be an interesting ride. But this is how it begins. Preschool.
Yeah.
Preschool. These are the tenets we're putting down. Preschool for my daughter and, you know, the twins and whatever children follow after that. This is my first bite of the apple.
Mm.
You know, am I Snow White or, you know, or is this the opening credits to Desperate Housewives?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you were 50 at this time?
50.
50.
Yeah.
And what was you think the median age of the other dads?
36. They were all Michael's age. I looked around the room and I was like, I smell, you know, what's that?
Youth? What is that smell?
That would be, that's youth. Oh, honey, wipe your feet when you leave the room. That's youth. Oh, God. I don't even know what the kids are wearing nowadays. I was going to say polo or dracar, but that would totally date me.
Yeah. You don't say that.
No.
So what did it feel like?
It was very off-putting. It was very...
Were you self-conscious?
I used to be, but not in my 50s anymore. I gave that up in my late 20s. I was like, oh, I don't need this anymore. Fuck them if they can't take a joke.
Right.
It's just how I roll. I don't really give a what people think. But now I have to be a little bit more conscientious of what I'm doing and what Karen I'm slapping, you know, about an apple, an apple crumb or something, because...
Yes.
You know, these things have ripple effects, and, you know, I have a family now to consider. So
right.
I can't be as bombastic as I used to be, but I certainly have an imprint of style I won't sacrifice. So
yes.
I'm looking around and I'm smelling benzoyl peroxide and seeing technology on phones I don't understand.
Yes.
You know, a little off put for a second, and then I was just like, oh no, Spats, get back in line. Let's find out when do you have to sign up for snack day?
Yes, yes. I'm sure you're going to slay snack day.
Oh, honey, you should have seen my little sweet potatoes that I made for Halloween. I roasted these veggies and cut jack-o'-lantern faces.
Stop.
And little mint leaves around the little SOBs. They were shiny little jack-o'-lanterns and individual little cups, you know.
Did you get to stay and see the kids eat them or no?
No,
you just drop off?
Yeah.
All right. So I love that you said in your letter to us, coming in late is a signature gay move.
Mm-hmm.
Make that entrance own the room.
Mm-hmm.
So you were coming in late to parenthood, right? You were making an entrance in your salmon.
Right. Pink.
Overalls. Mm-hmm. and your green, olive green Crocs.
Crocs.
Do you feel like you're owning parenting at 50 as a gay man with an adopted daughter? Do you feel like that you've owned that?
Yeah, I feel like the ownership is ongoing. I don't know if I'll ever get on, you know, the king of the mountain on that one. I definitely feel I've incorporated it. I waited a long time for this.
Yeah.
I waited a long time so I could see these children, you know, around our knees and behind our eyes. Formulated a lot of experiences in my life, acting, business, food, restaurants, social, disastrous relationships. There's a spice rack behind me because I too love to cook that. I'm just like,
yes.
I can't wait to season the stew. And when we do, it's going to be delicious. I hope whoever else is at the table is ready for this. I've been waiting for this for a long time, and I'm stoked for as far as it can go. Anthony Quinn had kids all the way into his like 70s.
And Picasso. He was 80.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he looked like, but.
He was Cuban.
He was right.
You know, his eye was at the doorway and his kids were at his knees and the dog. Oh, don't even ask where the dog was. Up there.
Yeah. So you have your Xanalu and you have your husband and you were getting yourself incorporated into this life of a father at 50. And you decided to foster.
That's correct. You are marvelous at this, Maite, as an interviewer and as a mom.
You
nurture and you get all the little ducks in a row. That's amazing that you can do this so eloquently.
I appreciate
She's elegant
that.
In it and efficient.
I had no idea until her first interview. I was like, oh my God.
Sacagawea. I've been handled before, but this is, yeah, I look for guidance. I call out Sacagawea. That's one of the things I do. Honestly, this is marvelous. Yeah, marvelous.
Well, thank you.
We opened our heart to fostering. We had a young man who was with us last year. He arrived at 8 months and he had been neglected. It was mostly some social neglect and the parents had some ish. And we shined it up. We fattened it up. We got it to walk. We got it to make noise. It's walking around our house like, yeah, man, how you doing? How's it going? Just like a little like chooch. He's just walking around. Chooch is an Italian expression for a little, you know, Goomba, little boy who just leads with the chin, a chooch. You know what I'm saying?
Tony Soprano.
Yeah, a little, hey, what's up? It was amazing because we agreed that we were all going to do this together, my daughter, my husband, and me.
Oh, and I'm sorry, Zana is how old now?
Zana is, she's 2.5 then.
Okay.
Nothing's ever bridged as this is a brother or sister coming to stay. This is a friend.
Ah.
And a friend is coming to stay for a while because his family needs to do some things to get ready so they can love him better.
Right.
We have a lot of love in this house. We're going to share this love, and it's going to take some work to do this, to get this person to where they need to be. You like to do this, Zana Lou, because you're a nurturer. She's always been. You should see her on the playground.
Yeah.
She's always been that girl going around the playground like, how are they treating you? Are you okay? Okay, I'll talk to you in a minute.
I'll be right there.
I will be with you shortly. I mean, my daughter is amazing like that. You know, I've got that proud parent thing happening right now.
Yes.
And so, Zana Lou, you're going to have this ability to and this opportunity. Are you ready for it? Yeah. So when he came, we said, we're going to do it as a family. We do it as – because we always take care of our friends. And so we got it up and running, and then quarantine hit. And he, unfortunately, was brought back to the biologicals in a manner that I'm saying is unfortunate. They called it 10. He was gone by 2. It just ripped – they ripped him right out. But we were expecting the Band-Aid to be ripped, so that was – interesting. But the most important thing was insulating our daughter and making sure that she was copacetic with this and cool. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that he was going to go back. You know he's going to go back. You know he's going to go. Okay, yeah. Are you proud? You should have every reason to feel proud of what you've done because this was wonderful, the gift you've given him. Would you want to do this again, Zana Lou? And she's like, oh, yeah, Papa, yeah.
So how old was she? When
3.5.
3.5.
So now we have two young men.
Yeah.
Who one is 10 months and then the other little knave is 3 weeks.
3 weeks old.
Yeah, so I'm 52 now, and I'm up at night walking the halls with this thing that looks like it should have been in the oven for a couple extra weeks. You forget how small they are.
Yes.
I mean, minute. I'm just like, I have bigger socks than you. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. And I do the night shift.
What are their names?
I don't know if I can use. I can't use that.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, their names are AJ and Luca.
Okay. And AJ is the 10-month-old, or
correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're here for the time being while their families work out their ish, and their situations are a lot different than our first itch. He needed therapies, meetings, this, that, the next thing. And I'm stoked. I'm like, get me the SUV. I'm going up and down. I'll go, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. Well, you know, it is work. You know, the soccer practice and the PTA meetings and all of that culminating. But we had the time. We had the resources. And Michael's like, this is what we wanted. And it was amazing. And and we did the route. And we got the work done. And up went the product. And he went right out the front door. And we just pray for him every day. And now we got these two new shiny faces that are up and up. These no triggers that we know just yet. These ones are just unabashed love and tiny little frailty. It's amazing how every child is completely different. It is amazing. And being the old father in the room to see what I've waited for so long is just, it's delicious.
I'm fascinated by the fact that you are continuing to bring children into your home to care for them, with the assumption that they're going to go somewhere else.
That's correct.
Possibly back to the biologicals or be placed in homes to adopt, right? Mm-hmm. Is the other possibility. We just have a few more minutes, but I just want to ask you, why would you do that?
The body of children that are out there hurting and the body of children that are in need of what Michael and I decided early on that we could do and we were going to do. We can tap that and we can help.
Mm.
And Michael's light, as you both know, is luminous.
Yes.
My husband is brilliant.
Yes.
My husband, as much as I chide him and deride him and use him as the butt in a gay relationship, that's hilarious.
Yes.
Butt of my jokes. The light of my life, and
yeah,
that he was on this mission with me and that we get, you know, to do this together makes us welcome them. I want to convert the garage.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So will you
continue
to bring in kids?
Yeah. We're approved for our two beds for now, so until we can increase the house.
So you want to convert the garage?
I would love to. Michael won't do it, I know. But Michael...
Are you listening, Michael?
Are you listening?
He'd really like to convert the garage.
A Christmas present.
More additions for more additions.
That's
right.
There's a sale at IKEA on bunk beds.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
We would like to continue to do it. We're blessed that that this is what we wanted early on, and that we can do it with our schedules, our resources, and our support system. We'd be nothing without our family and our friends.
The last question I'll ask is, as a gay couple, it's not difficult to get foster children?
No, not in this state. But you know,
in California, it's not.
But you know the legislature's out there right now. It's in Arkansas. It's in Michigan. It's in Missouri. It's in Florida. That they want to have adoption and foster agencies deny access to fertility challenged single people, as well as same-sex couples and single couples as well. Single people, professionals out there, because of their – this is the society we're in right now.
Yes.
Where The table wants to not just be turned, it wants to press against your throat and put you up against the wall. You shouldn't have our kids. They should rot. What the hell is that?
So they would deny...
Yeah.
Not you guys, but deny Luca and what do we call
AJ? AJ, yeah.
The home that they're getting with you now and the care and the love.
In other states.
And from Xana as well, who is...
Galactic domination.
Everyone
will serve her one day. Yeah, that's out there right now.
I hope that anyone who's listening can see their way clear to do whatever is possible to make sure legislation like that does not pass into law, because then it is these children that will suffer.
Yeah.
You two are incredible.
You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
This is
a great story.
This is wonderful to have this opportunity to share the story and to be in your presence. This is just great.
Oh, thank you,
Johnny. What a great story, too. And I'm just struck with the idea of the picture of the first child who was sick, and then how he came into your life in that condition and left fixed. To me, there's something very striking about when a soul is loved and how it changes a person. Like, you can see them differently. And I agree with Laurie. It would just be a shame that kids were not allowed to be loved by anyone in the world, you know?
There's a couple of people that work in the agency that have the ability to foster the children that are really sick and not going to be with us that long. I'm not there. I don't think I could do that. Those angels on earth, I watch these people, and it's a role. I would like to be there someday. I think as like the Papa Spats, that I would only like accept infants in my like 60s and 70s that are, you know, I think I could work towards that. You know, my heart is geared towards that, and that the love that, you know, is available to these small little units is people that do this regularly, the foster people, you know, when you give them a second to talk to them and hear their stories, how they love.
They're special.
That's a story we definitely want to tell.
But so are you guys.
Thank you.
Just to love knowing that you're going to lose. That's a unique gift.
Well, and that's that old saying, right? The price for love is loss, and yet we love anyway.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's true. It rings through in the gay community. It rings through as parents. It rings through on so many levels. Very good.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Tony.
The Only One in the Room has brand new interviews for you every week. You won't want to miss our full episodes every Tuesday, Scott Talks on Wednesday, and our new Thursday series, The Now Normal. And twice per month, be sure to catch our 30-minute Sunday edition by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Join our Only One in the Room Facebook group if you'd like to tell us about your Only One story. All of us at The Only One in the Room wish you safety and wellness.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.